RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Pinion to hold on the left hash. Left to right angle for Gonzalez in his eighth year out of Arizona State. Trying to give the Falcons a lead in the final half minute. Liam McCullough to snap. There's the spot. The kick is away by Gonzalez. And it is good! 52 yards with 21 seconds left and gives Atlanta the lead at 27-24.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. You heard it correctly. It is a victory Tuesday coming in here off Monday Night Football. We are the Morning Chip. My name is Mike Johnson. She's Allie Mack. G-Money behind the window. Dylon. I think he's off watching Stranger Things or something.
Yeah, he is.
I did get to hang out with Squid Billy yesterday, and I bet you he wishes he was sitting in this chair right now because the vibes are high. The Falcons pull off the big dub last night. I'm just happy to be here, man. I don't even know how to put it. It's not shocking, I guess, the win, but it's one step short of that. You know, it's one step short of that.
And before the game even got started, the panel on Monday Night Football, you know, they make their predictions and everything, and everybody was Rams. And I was like, I just hope. Let's just show them. Let's just show them.
There were multiple commenters from the NFL Network or NFL.com on the socials last night that I wanted to punch in the face at times. I think it was Albert Breer who had a tweet that was like, there's three or four Falcons doing the dirty bird while there's a flag laying on the field 70 yards away. It's the most Falcons thing of all time. And I was like, you know what, dude? You just need to be punched in the face. It's just one of those things where it sounds like you need to be. Nick Shook was another one that was kind of talking trash at times last night in the second half. But I won't let him bring me down. It was awesome being in that building last night. It was awesome for the Falcons to be able to go out there and get that dub. And like you said, we'll break it down throughout the show and talk about the highs and lows and everything else that went on. But it didn't seem real at moments last night when you look at Matt Stafford and everything that we talked about coming in and MVP candidate and all of the above. And for him to go out and play the way he did against this Falcons defense and Bijan Robinson to have the night he did continues to show out in primetime in Monday Night Football. And it just felt good to be a Falcons fan once again. It just really did.
It really did. And I got to, you know, piggyback off of what you just said about the commentators, because last night, Joe Buck, as soon as we got a touchdown, he's like, whoa, 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 we got to make sure that's really a touchdown.
I'm
like,
what was the deal?
Of course you're acting that way. I don't understand, but the vibes are high today. Although, did anyone breathe when Zane Gonzalez was going for that field goal? I was clenching my fists, like, okay, come on.
It didn't. And all I could think about, and Garrett's probably in the same boat as this, all I could think about was how nice it is to have a kicker that can do that and how different this season could have been had you had that guy all along.
Yeah.
I just kept going back to that.
Yeah, no, he's coming to his own. He seems to be playing with a ton of confidence right now. I love that from Zane. I mean, he's playing so well. I think that kick would have been good from 60. That was a bomb.
Well, and did you see Mike Conti's tweet that was like, let's play the what-if game. What if we had gotten this figured out earlier in the season? I'm like, I can't let my brain go there.
I can't either. The Divine Diablo stuff, talking about how bad we were without him in the lineup. And I mean, you go down the list of a lot of things and I got to give Raheem credit. He's made a lot of changes throughout the year, and he's pulled the plug on different things that were not working. And you remember the whole conversation surrounding J.D. Bertrand, midway through the year, and it was like, man, you know what? Suddenly he's inactive, but then he was active yesterday because Josh Woods not in the lineup. Ronnie Harrison became a bigger part of this defense. Kobe Bryant became a bigger part of this defense. C.J. Henderson. There's a lot of guys from the top down when you look at the names and the bodies that were thrown in the mix over the last couple of games. And it is interesting, as Grant and I were finishing up last night, and we're looking forward to the New Orleans game coming up this weekend. It's like, isn't it kind of crazy that two of the hottest teams in the NFL are now the Falcons and the Saints? They've won four in a row. We've won three in a row. Like, how is this even possible that it's come down to this situation and neither one of these teams going to the playoffs? But it was fun for a night for sure to not play the what-if game, but just see what this team's capable of, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt yesterday.
Yeah, we've got a lot to go over with this game. Real quick, let me run down the headlines since we last got to hang out, because there was other stuff going on besides the Falcons game last night. The Hawks, unfortunately, lost again, this time to the Thunder, 140-129. That is seven losses in a row now. They'll play again tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. Pregame is at 2:30 here on 92.9 The Game. Tip is set for 3 p.m. The Ravens say that Lamar Jackson's status against the Steelers is TBD at this point. Andy Reid plans on returning as the Chiefs coach next season. Ole Miss running back Kwon Lacy is listed as probable to play against Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. And, of course, let's go over it. The Atlanta Falcons beat the L.A. Rams last night, 27-24. Atlanta is 4-1 in primetime contests this season. I have to say, got to give myself a shout out here.
Oh, here we go.
Because in the Rise Up Rewind, I did say when the lights are on, the Falcons show up. I predicted this win.
You say that every week. What do we do? I was like, no, I'm not letting you get away with this. You say that every week. I was like, that's your calling card. That's your sign off.
I know.
I'll let you get away with this.
Go with the optimist route.
No.
Hey, they are 9-1 on Monday Night Football since 2015.
What's the record with the Red Helmets? That's the big
16-3.
There you go. Like, let's go.
16-3. I don't know if it's official yet, but I mean, aren't they? Haven't the Falcons put their name in back into the mix? Some expert in quotation marks, when it comes to uniforms and everything like that, talking about how the Falcons might be getting new uniforms.
They are. They have. They're because eligible. You have to do it 2 years in advance, and I know that they've put in for new uniforms. I don't know if they're in the red helmet. They should be. They should be the exact uniforms you wore last night, but I don't know if that's what it is or if it's completely different alternates or what have you. So, yeah, they do have some kind of new sequence that should be coming next year. But, man, watching them go at it last night. What's Kirk Cousins' record this year now? 4-3 as a starter? Something along those lines?
Yeah, I believe it was 3-3 before last night.
There you go. So feel good about that one as well. There's a lot of things to take away. Bijan Robinson setting the franchise record for yards from scrimmage. We'll go through all of that. But I just thought that coming out, and Bo and I did the pregame show. You and I talked about it yesterday. And when we were giving our final thoughts, I said, the Falcons have to play a perfect game.
Yeah.
And the craziest part about last night, I guess, is that they did not play a perfect game.
They didn't
even come close to playing a perfect game, but neither did the Rams. And for every kind of thing that swung your way, some things swung back their way, and you were able to really capitalize on some big moments. They did play what I would call a perfect first half with the pick six, the Bijan touchdown catch, being able to get different things done throughout that first half. I think it was only the second or third time in Sean McVay's coaching history where he actually was shut out in a half of football. So that was really cool to watch, really cool to see. Defensively, I just thought Jeff Ulbrich's game plan, how many times did you and I talk about it yesterday where it was like, how much will they blitz? How much will they stay back? How much will they pressure? How much will they just sit back and, you know, drop eight guys into coverage? And I thought they found the perfect mix. They did bring blitzes here and there, but it really did a nice job dropping guys into coverage, making sure they weren't overcommitted. And Matthew Stafford at times did kind of pat the ball and ask questions of himself as he was looking down the field and, gently slides back to second place in the MVP race because
Isn't
of the performance
crazy?
Last night. It really is.
It's just nuts. Let's go ahead and hear from Raheem Morris after the game. He spoke with Dave Archer on beating a Super Bowl contender.
The Rams are an excellent football team. They're well coached. They got a great organization. They got great leadership across the board. They got great football players across the board. We knew it would be a battle, and we wanted to show that we can play this type of football game. We could play versus this type of team. And the guys went out there and showed it. I'm so proud of all these guys with the effort and everything that put into it. And, you know, their work is paying off, and I love that.
And just like you mentioned, Mike, the Falcons, yes, are the only team this season to hold the Rams to being scoreless in a half.
Yeah, it not only that, but you look at the defensive performance. Now, the final score is going to say 24 points, but the defense didn't give up that touchdown. It was on special teams with the blocked field goal. And so you're going to look at this defense that three sacks, three interceptions, and a defense that gave up 17 points to the number one offense in the NFL. They were without two offensive linemen last night. We talked about it in the pregame show. I thought that Justin Dedich, I believe, is the right guard's name that had to play yesterday. Good player. But we talk about this all the time, Allie. And I think Garrett will appreciate this conversation as well. What they are as an offense is so different than what we are as an offense because of the offensive line personnel. That is a group up front that is a big, big unit for them. And being able to run the ball downhill is of the utmost importance. Their backup right guard was 295. Their starting right guard was like 330-something. Mm. And that is a big drop-off for a team that wants to go straight ahead. Now, if you ask me how much Chris Lindstrom weighs, I'd probably tell you he probably weighs as much as their backup guard. And so that's why we do things to the outside and the wide zone, and they go straight ahead with some of the duo plays that they run downhill. But I thought that that was something they needed to try to solve early in the game in the first half, and they could not get it figured out against our defensive front.
You saw they started finding some success early in the second half, and I thought that was really what was going to flip the game around, and kind of did to some extent. They were able to find a little success running up the middle, but Blake Corum was dealing with an injury in this game, and Kyron Williams really took off there in the second half. But look, this was a good instance for the Falcons in run defense. That's not a big defensive line for the Falcons. It's not very big. And the fact that the Rams were without, it's their problem. It's not our problem. The Falcons played as good a game as you could have asked for in terms of run defense, especially compared to what they've done this season. And look, to your point, I actually heard you talking about that in the pregame, and I hadn't realized that he's sub 300. And when you talk about a 30-pound difference, that's monstrous for an offensive line.
Yeah.
And you know that better than anybody.
Yeah. They also, I think it was DJ Humphreys that ended up playing left tackle last night for them that entered into the starting lineup for Alaric Jackson. And I didn't know how big of a deal it would be. DJ Humphreys is a veteran player, but the first fourth down they attempted to get was, I think it was like fourth and one inside the red zone for them. I can't remember exactly which yard line they were on, but Khalid Kareem absolutely blows it up, and guess who he beat? DJ Humphreys, right? Oh, yeah. There in the B gap, completely blows the play up, and Kyron Williams had no chance in the backfield on that one.
I talked to Khalid Kareem about that play after the game in the locker room, and he said it's credit to Brick. Perfect play call, and that's the way he lined up and the way that he attacked the gap. It was perfect.
Yeah.
He hit the hole at the exact right time, and I think you have the wide receiver who shifts back inside, and he trips him up a little bit. It looks like just a tad, but it doesn't matter. Khalid Kareem is shooting off the ball so effectively that he just gets all the way into the backfield and makes the play.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the adrenaline he was feeling after that hit? Like, whoa!
They weren't gashing you at that point, but they were having success finding yardage. Like, you weren't really stoning them at the line of scrimmage. They were having gains of 4 yards, 5 yards, kind of down the field when they needed to. They ran a couple of play actions. I don't remember if it was that series or the one before where you see the Caden Ellis tipped ball, as he backs into coverage and backs off of a blitz. So, yeah, I mean, I thought that was incredible, him knifing inside and getting in the backfield. It just, that whole thing in the first half, you had to have that play go your way. How about the overturned first down from, I believe, the first drive or second drive that caused them to have to punt, and you're able to go down and put points on the board once again. It was a really, really good first half for sure.
Was there a moment at all last night when you felt like we got this, or were you kind of just sitting and wait? Like, were you nervous the whole time, or is there
Did you feel that way?
No.
I didn't. No. I definitely didn't.
Not at first.
I knew that there was going to be I will tell you when I was the most comfortable. I knew that they would come out and throw a counterpunch to begin the second half. They come out and kick a field goal. You go right back down and you drain a field goal, and you're back up by 21 points, and it's 24-3. And I thought, okay, they threw a counterpunch. You countered back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just them kind of running away with it back into you in the third quarter. At that point, I felt like as good as the height was,
yeah.
Right? And then it was a roller coaster downhill.
Right.
And then it was like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, there was a moment when they started scoring on us, and I sent Grant the meme of Michael Scott going, don't.
When they got to 24-10, I started being like, what would it take here? What would it take? But they drove the ball, and then they put it all the way down, and then they had the block field goal.
Yeah.
And then that one, it's just And I'm like, oh, okay, something's amiss. Something's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a lot to dig into on this. I mean, we haven't even talked about the Puka Nacua catch, non-catch situation. So we're going to dig into this win, what went right, what had you a little bit nervous in the second half. We'll talk about that next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
So the interception with 97 seconds left. 141 is what they put on the clock. And here goes Bijan Robinson. 30, 35, 40, midfield. It's a foot race. Robinson 30. 15, 10, 5, house call. Are you serious? Oh, my goodness. He just went 93.
Yes, he did. Happy Victory Tuesday. It is Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Bo Morgan has a little more time off. Garrett is in for Dylan behind the glass. We do need to talk about Bijan's incredible night last night. Broke some records. But how much sleep did you guys get last night? Because both of you were working the game.
Sleep? What sleep?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no. I would, you know, it's, I call it an all-nighter. I did, yeah, I got some sleep last night. I would say about 3 hours for me.
Okay.
Which is a really, really solid night's sleep when everything's considered. I would not have got that at home if I had tried to drive home.
No. I think I got about, I don't know, solid 45 minutes or so. I feel
45
like, I feel like Will Ferrell and Elf, it is like, oh, full 40 minutes. Basically.
I had to check my security system to see when Grant got home last night.
Yeah, yesterday was such a roller coaster. I was thinking back through my schedule yesterday when we played that Bijan clip on the way in because, and you know this as well as anybody, but I'll tell the listener, I did the show yesterday, I went home, I knew it was going to be a late night because we were going to be up 2 hours after the game, Grant and myself doing the post-game show. So I go home, I take a nap, I wake up, I ended up going down to the stadium a little bit early because I knew traffic, yep, always bad during prime time. We were going to go on air at 6. So I got down there a little bit early, and I ate. Well, then I got to come back here for the post game. So I left right at, like, the two-minute warning.
Okay.
And as I'm walking out, I hear a roar from the crowd, and then I hear another roar from the crowd, like a bigger roar, and then the horn blows. And I was like, what? What just happened? So immediately I pull up the Odyssey app and, and listen to the guys on 92.9, and with the delay, I was able to hear that entire cut as I was walking out into what I would call frigid temperatures last night as I was exiting the stadium. But, yeah, it was really, really cool moment. I was happy I at least got to hear the crowd roar and the train horn as I was exiting the building. I was like, what's going on out there? Oh, my God, yes, yes.
Man, I'm sad you missed it, though, by just a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit.
I was like, I was sitting upstairs with Joe Patrick in the press box, and I was like, all right, buddy, time for me to go. Got to go back to the studio. And I always try to shoot that gap and you know, have the drive just beat during halftime so I don't miss anything on the field. And there you go. I missed it. I dropped the ball on that one.
But you heard the crowd reaction.
Yeah, it felt good. Felt good.
If you are just catching up, yes, the Falcons beat the Rams last night, 27-24. Bijan Robinson finished with 229 scrimmage yards, breaking the franchise record for scrimmage yards in a single season. Let's hear from Bijan after the game with Dave Archer about that play we just heard, that 93-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's just one of those where you got to, you know, make somebody miss. And if you make a miss, then it can be nothing left. So it was one of those ones where I just had to stay patient, and he came in the backfield and, you know, just use the God-given ability and then try to, you know, we don't have a Jumbotron, so I can't look in the back.
Right,
so I had to keep on kind of looking back a little bit. But, man, we got in the end zone 93 yards, and it was a huge momentum change for our team.
Yeah, think about that. If he had looked up at the Halo board to
yeah,
see
that's not good.
No, I can't do that. So
he might have fallen down, actually.
I always think of, what was Adrian Peterson back in the day?
Yeah.
When he used to do his running. Or he's like, yep. Now they're in the open field, and you just see him like eyeballing the,
yeah,
the Jumbotron. I didn't even think about the Falcons not having something like that.
There's been more and more guys that have done that, you know, since Jumbotrons became a big thing. I think Adrian Peterson was one of the first ones because screens just kept getting bigger and bigger
right.
in his time as a running back. And now you see it, you know, some punt returners, kick returners, too. They'll look up and just see how close people are behind them. So, yeah, pretty cool deal. I had not thought about the Halo board within that aspect until he said that last night.
Right. Well, and obviously it was Bijan's night. Like, it was a star-sided night for him. But Drake London, Kyle Pitts, where were they?
Yeah, I don't know. It's really – it's a head-scratching question because I'm thinking through the game, and Kyle Pitts has been really, really good over the last, I don't know, let's call it 6 weeks. And the entire conversation about Drake London coming back from injury was how can they kind of interweave these two guys to make sure you're getting the most out of them. And it was very clear last week that Drake London was still hobbled. He was not at 100%, even though I think he got 7 or 8 targets a week ago. He only caught 3 balls for 27 yards. So I just thought, okay, he'll get even closer to 100%. You'll continue to do Kyle Pitts things. And, you know, you'll make sure that both these guys are able to get their hands on the ball and get their targets. Did not pan out as far as the game plan goes.
I do think, I mean, Kyle was able to make an impact in the game, just getting first downs. That's one thing that he has been doing very effectively. Even if the yards really aren't super, like, off the charts incredible like they were against Tampa, he's still getting first downs. And that's something that he's done a lot this season. And he was able to do that in this game. And
yeah.
I'd say, like, Drake wasn't really part of the game plan. I think he's out there more of a decoy, it feels like.
Yeah, there was a huge first down catch. I believe it was on 3rd and 5-ish where Drake catches one and immediately gets hit by Emmanuel Forbes right there at the stick, but held on to the ball. And I thought, that's Drake London doing Drake London things. And that was in the first half. And I thought, okay, we're off to the races. We'll see Drake London doing more Drake London things, contested catches, physicality. Once he gets his hands on the ball, he's not going to drop it. And then it was just kind of went away after that. I'm still kind of shocked by it. Like, I kind of want to break down the all 22 once it comes out and just try to decide if this was something the coverage dictated for Kirk Cousins or if this was by design, Zach Robinson, knowing the personnel, knowing Sean McVay's thought process and, you know, knowing some of the guys that Chris Shula has, the defense coordinator, over there and the way they'll play. So I don't really have a good answer for it other than to say, kudos to David Sills and Darnell Mooney for a couple of big catches, and Bijan continuing to be a featured part of your offensive game plan. It was good to see.
Because Bijan was such a big part of the plan last night, were you surprised at the end of the game when he was on the sideline?
Yes and no. I think that Bijan, that as much as we want to see him have the ball every play, it's just not physically possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more he's taking hits, he's been extremely durable in his time here in Atlanta. You know, he's been able to play a number of games, and obviously that's why you see him being able to set records of you know, yards from scrimmage and things like that. Tyler Allgeier does bring a different aspect, and I thought that he would be a big part. It was almost like they went into the game plan going, hey, you're going to be a big part of the game plan. You're going to be a big part of the game plan. And then they got to the end and they were like, he hasn't been a very big part of the game plan. We said this was going to be part of the game plan. What are we doing? Get him in there. And it was just it just didn't work right there at the end. I was really frustrated with the a couple of the third and short calls that you had, and I'm trying to piece together the timeline in my brain. But you try to run downhill at times with him, and it just doesn't work. He's there. This is a wide zone offense, and asking Chris Lindstrom and Ryan Neusel to block downhill and short yardage just has not ended up well for us more times than not.
Yeah, and I think that in that instance, the one you're referring to, Ali, is they kind of knew what was coming, and it became pretty clear that it was just a kind of a pound it out and see what you can get and just hold on to that darn football.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, Tyler Allgeier has 0 fumbles. He's never fumbled. Like, that's why I would want him in that situation. Not that Bijan's going to put the ball on the ground, but he has fumbled the ball four times this season. I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, that's why I'd want Algier in those types of moments. It makes sense in that sense, but ultimately, I mean, I'm fine with either one of those guys. It's the beauty of having an option of 1A and, well, clearly a 1B, but still a really good running back in his own right.
I couldn't help but think and wonder when Tyler Algier was on the field yesterday if we're seeing the last glimpses we have of him in a Falcons uniform over the next couple of weeks. It makes me sick. Yeah. He's one of my favorite players. He's been one of my favorite guys to talk to off the field. I've been with him at a couple of different events, and he's such a bright personality. You know what I mean? Him along with Bijan Robinson, same way. And so watching him kind of run the ball, and he did have a couple of plays where he got ahead of steam. But I couldn't help but think about it last night. I was like, man, I hope they find a way to make sure that he is back as part of this running back rotation. But he deserves an opportunity. You know, to go start somewhere if that's what he wants to do. But, man, he's such a special player, too.
I get big-time Michael Turner vibes from him, like big yeah. Michael Turner vibes. Because when Michael Turner came to Atlanta, I mean, he was playing behind a guy who is just like Bijan Robinson and LaDainian Tomlinson. Very, very similar, and having
just good call.
Outstanding seasons and breaking records out there in San Diego. And then he comes to Atlanta, he just gets an opportunity, and then he's Michael the Turner Burner, Burner Turner.
It actually, you're right as far as his style goes. I think of him and his role, and I think of a guy like Jason Snelling. Ooh. Jason Snelling was such a, I mean, Jason Snelling one time broke his jaw in a game and finished the game. And the next day showed up with like a softball on his cheek because his jaw had been broken. I believe that was a playoff game against the Giants. So, yeah, that's just... That his role with the team reminds me of Jason Snelling, but that's a good call on Michael Turner as well.
What was the worst injury you had? You actually played through? Played through. Off the top of your head.
I don't know. I had like a really slight shoulder separation at one point. Ended up having to get like the lidocaine shots in the shoulder right there in the joint, you know, with the long needle.
Football players.
Did that for like nuts.
Five or six.
No, yeah.
You guys are nuts. I'm sitting here. Oh, man. I'm sore from sleeping on the floor, man.
It always felt like an elephant set on your shoulder. It was like, oh, God. Once it started feeling better, they were like, hey, come get your shot. I was like, no, I'm good. It's crazy. I've actually healed. I've actually healed really good. So, yeah, that's probably it.
You can't complain about anything when a former NFL player is around because they have played through so much.
Well, that's what I'll be the first to tell you. He's like, played through. I'm like, I don't know. I had some bad injuries, but I didn't play through any of them. It was, you know, a couple high ankle sprains here and there that I tried to play through. But, yeah, I mean, most of the injuries I had ended up on a surgical table, so that is what it is.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, the vibes, of course, are very high today on this Victory Tuesday. We've got a lot more to cover. We've got to talk about Jeff Ulbrich, Brendan Dorlus, James Pierce, Xavier Watts. Got a lot to unpack with this game. Coming up next, got a few college football playoff games coming up. We got to look at those. And we've got my Mac drop. Do you remember everything that went down in 2025? Because it was a lot, and we will go over it next with some trivia on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Here's Stafford to throw on first down. He wants to take the deep shot, and it is intercepted by Watts, but a flag is thrown. Xavier Watts with the interception on the ball intended for Xavier Smith against Caden Ellis.
Yeah, they're going to call P.I. on Caden Ellis. Somehow, Caden Ellis.
Oh, it's going to be against the Rams.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to stand. This play is going to stand. Oh, my goodness.
It stood. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the morning shift. I am Allie Mack with Mike Johnson. Garrett's hanging out behind the glass. That was just a glimpse of Xavier Watts, his big night right there.
It really was an incredible night for him. And absolutely the correct call. When you go back and look at the offensive PI against Caden Ellis, there was a push off, and Xavier Watts just flies in out of nowhere and gets his hand on the ball. I mentioned this last night to Grant as we were kind of signing off in the post game and working our way through some of the stories. One of the biggest things in this stretch run that the Falcons have enjoyed is simply actually bringing in interceptions when it counts. Xavier Watts, obviously, with a couple last night, Jesse Bates with the pick six. But last week, C.J. Henderson has an interception to seal the game. Dee Alford the week before against Tampa Bay is able to get the ball back in the offense's hands. They go down and drive down and win the game. So there were so many times. Remember, Garrett, I think it was 2 years ago, we went the entire season without a corner having an interception. And it was Jesse Bates had like all of them. And I think Richie Grant had like maybe one.
Yeah.
Maybe one fell in like Grady Jarrett's hands or Troy Anderson or somebody. But yeah, it's just nice to see the secondary be able to come up with these turnover worthy plays and actually, you know, put them on the board.
And you go back to week one too, where the Falcons probably had like three or four interceptions that they had and then they dropped. And then if you just get one of those, it changes the game potentially.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come down to a field goal at the very end of the game. But, I mean, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And the Falcons, to your point, that's a great point that the Falcons have been bringing down the interceptions. You got to finish the play, make the great play. And Caden Ellis, I mean, he doesn't come out with these interceptions and stuff like that. He does have the one great pass defended in the first half. He was all over the place game. He was deep down the field. He was making plays east-west. He's going north-south. I mean, he's going all over.
I know. I was like, is that Caden again? Again? Yeah, he was all over the place.
Everywhere.
We are celebrating this Falcons win all morning. Tweet us your reactions. What was the best play in your opinion? Who do you want to come back next season? Give us all the thoughts at 929 Morning Shift. And right now we're going to get into some college football. Kawan Lacy is a probable to play for Ole Miss in the Sugar Bowl. He had been dealing with shoulder issues.
Allie, I could sit here and try to diagnose what exactly he means and what exactly that news means. And all I keep coming back to is just how massive this game is for Ole Miss.
Yeah.
And that's really the only thing at the top of my brain looking at this matchup. And I think there's going to be so much involved on both sides. But Ole Miss, being in a town that is right down the street from where your old coach is now, being in a place like the Sugar Bowl, having a chance to win the biggest game in your school's history, I think that Georgia is going to absolutely be able to get after it. But I think having a guy like that in the lineup actually provides a little bit of game-breaking ability that we've seen from Ole Miss against Georgia over the last couple of years.
Yeah, and another one that you got to keep an eye on is Colby Young, listed as probable here for the Georgia Bulldogs. He has been out since that game that they played Athens. He was wide receiver one. He was wide receiver one. He was your big guy down the field, and Zachary Branch, of course, is still your game wrecker. He's listed as probable. I mean, I guess that means he's going to play. I don't know. But I mean,
probable.
It's probably, I guess. But that's going to be a big one coming back here. And when it comes back to it, when you talk about Lacy and the way that Ole Miss is able to find some success, I mean, you've got the same guy calling plays technically as the offensive coordinator. But are they going to be able to replicate that level of explosiveness? That's where I kind of get a little uneasy for Ole Miss, because they played about as perfect a football game as you could ask.
I agree with you, but I do feel like there is some level I would have of uneasiness if I was Glenn Schumann in this defense, of saying, you know, a lot of things can change. And especially when somebody else is in charge and sees things a different way and does things a different way, whereas you've played Lane Kiffin's version of Ole Miss a couple of times. Not that you have a beat on what they're doing, but you have a good understanding of how they're trying to attack you, and then all of a sudden somebody else is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've told you guys a number of times, Georgia's been my pick to win the national title for a couple of months now. I just think they're too well-rounded. I think they swarm really, really good on defense, and I think Ole Miss is going to have an uphill battle on their hands for sure.
And Drew Bobo also is one that he is not going to be playing in this game. That's going to be another big loss for them.
No question.
Just kind of hoping he comes back at some point throughout this process. I mean, I think you can survive this week without Bobo, but moving forward into the postseason, man, it would help to have him back. It really would.
Moving over to the Rose Bowl, Indiana's wide receiver Omar Cooper will be fully available when they take on Alabama. He had suffered a lower body injury in the Big Ten title game previously.
You won't be able to peel me away from a television on Thursday.
Yeah.
Will not be able to peel me away from a television on Thursday. I had a chance to play in the Rose Bowl, the stadium, the Rose Bowl. I played in the national championship game in the Rose Bowl, which was not the Rose Bowl. I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain at this point. There was a Rose Bowl like 8 days before we played the national title game. But really, really cool event. Watching Alabama's players after their last round victory against Oklahoma, kind of having the roses in their mouth as they walk off the field. That was a really cool thing for us. And it is the most beautiful setting in college football. It's not even close. Kirk Herbstreit's talked about this a couple of times. If you wanted to vote to have the national title game in the Rose Bowl every year, nobody would argue with it because it's that unbelievable. When you look at the trees that come up over the side of the stadium, when you look at the mountains off in the distance, when you look at what the weather usually always is out there, although not looking great on Thursday, it's just a place that seems surreal when you're inside of it, and that's going to be a really, really good matchup.
It's going to be such a great football game. I know. I'm in here in studio. I'll have it up on the TV. I'll be ready to go. This game is as fascinating as of any of these matchups because you have the legacy brand, you have the big dog, and then you have Indiana. You know, who's ironically the number one overall seed in this entire tournament, and I mean they still have yet to win a college football playoff matchup. I mean, I know a lot of people have started kind of crowning Kurt Cignetti a little bit, and he deserves a lot of attention. He deserves all of the flowers that he's getting, but you got to beat the big dog. And to this point, Alabama's been a big dog. Can they get over the hump? Can they run the ball? Do they have to run the ball?
It seems surreal to me. You brought up the fact that they're the one seed. Seems surreal to me that Georgia's a 6.5-point favorite over Ole Miss. And in this alternate world we now live in, that Indiana is a 7-point favorite over Alabama.
How about that?
It just doesn't it doesn't register with me. And it's been said multiple times, and I've talked about it. Kirk Cignetti was on staff with Kirby Smart and a number of other guys when I was at Alabama. Kirk Cignetti was our wide receiver coach. Kirk Cignetti was Julio Jones's wide receiver coach, and actually a big part of his recruitment to Alabama. Which I don't know that I could have hand selected two personalities to be much more different than Julio Jones and Kurt Cignetti. It's hard to even at this point. I know I've seen it before. It's hard to even picture them talking to one another. They're just so unique in the way they go about their business. But it evidently worked for some time. And you know, Kurt Cignetti has had a lot of success ever since then with some of the stops he's made as a head coach since his 4 years under Nick Saban. So yeah, man, that's a special ordeal. And you know, we'll see what happens throughout the next couple of days, but I'm stoked about it. I really can't wait to sit down and watch some of these matchups.
Well, and Ohio State is going to be a big one. They're going to be defending their title against Miami in the Cotton Bowl.
This made me sick because I heard somebody talking about how it was the 2002 game, the Ohio State versus Miami national title game, the pass interference game, and I believe this is true. There's only like three players that were alive that will be involved in this game. There were only three players alive at the time that last game happened, which is insane to think about. So anybody that would be like 23-year-old and up at this point, I can't believe that's a true fact, but that makes me sick to my stomach.
So while we are celebrating the Falcons' win today, we are also saying goodbye to the year 2025. Mike, this is the last time we'll be in the studio this year.
Yeah.
So I want to quiz you guys on 2025, the events that were. But since you both are on such little sleep.
I knew she was up to something. She starts folding paper here, getting her pen out. I'm like, oh, here we go.
However, since you're both on such little sleep, would you like to just run through these and see if we can all guess together?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's do that.
it doesn't need to be a heated
The tank
exchange.
Is on E. The tank is on E.
All right. So here is some trivia. This all happened in 2025, believe it or not. Which school opened up a $62 million football stadium in Gwinnett?
Buford.
There you go.
Buford. What app had influencers making tearful goodbyes before it shut down, only to be restarted 12 hours later?
TikTok.
That was TikTok. What pop star went to space with five other female celebrities and caught a lot of heat for it?
Katy Perry.
Is Garrett going to get all these mics?
here
we go.
I'm foggy. I'm letting him rip off these things.
What celebrity raved about the atmosphere at Sanford Stadium after he came to town with Texas? He said the crowd was loud from
the
beginning.
Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah.
Yeah, there
Matthew
you go.
McConaughey. He was shocked by it.
I think that which is crazy because it's not like this is not some kind of Hollywood guy that just shows up at a college football game and like, yeah. Wow, this is crazy. Or some kind of, you know, person from London that comes in and they're like, yeah. Wow, this is insane. Like Matthew McConaughey goes to a lot of college football games.
He's
been around a lot of atmospheres. And so for him to say that about Athens and Sanford Stadium, I think actually kind of raises an eyebrow a little bit.
Well, what raises my eyebrow about it is he's wearing the exact same thing every single time he goes to one of these games, and he can afford a different outfit. He's superstitious.
You're telling me he has the same outfit on?
Just a little stitches, yeah.
Every time he goes to a college football game, he wears the same thing?
Same outfit.
It's the burnt orange leather jacket.
And the hat.
And
the cowboy hat.
Oh, I got you.
He wears the same thing every time.
Yeah, but why would you want to change that up? That's a
classic
look.
Because you can.
It's a good look.
Well,
Matthew McConaughey can do whatever he wants to style-wise, right?
This is true.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got to be one of the coolest people on the short list.
Yes. All right, what Atlanta team manager decided to call it a career after 49 seasons?
Go ahead, G.
That's Brian Snicker.
There, that a boy.
Yeah, that's
he had that
Brian
twinkle
Snicker.
In his eye through the glass.
I was excited.
I'm going to see if he can go undefeated here.
There was a viral debate going on in April. We even covered it, and it was who would win the fight between 100 men and what mammal?
Is it a gorilla?
That's a gorilla.
There, that a boy. Man, he's on a heater right now. He might have a clean sheet here.
What band was playing in July when a couple got caught having an affair on a kiss cam?
Ooh, Coldplay.
Attaboy, G.
Coldplay.
Man. This has been a long year.
It has been a long
year. That feels like forever ago.
Right?
I could have sworn that was 2024.
If you get this one, Garrett, this is going to tell us a lot about you.
All right, let's go.
What fashion accessory / plush toy took over the world this year? Kids kind of have it on their keychains.
Oh.
They're little animals.
They are.
This one is all. I was letting you run through them before, but I really have no idea what this one is.
I've heard. Is it like Kim Kutachi or whatever? What's it called? No, it's shoot.
You're thinking of Tamagotchi. It's
I
not
am
that.
Tamagotchi.
I was going to say, we talked about Tamagotchi a couple weeks ago.
I know what it is. And the thing is, it's going to. Because my fiance's, her nieces, well, I guess my nieces.
They wanted them?
They wanted them. And. They're very expensive.
La boo-boos.
La boo-boos?
Yeah, no, I was not going to get that.
Yeah,
no?
I was going to say.
It's crazy. It's kind of like Beanie Babies.
I have genuinely never heard that word.
Did you guys
make the investment
in the Beanie Baby craze back in the day?
No.
Come on.
Not at all.
La boo-boos.
What event took place at the All-Star Game here in Atlanta that had never happened before?
Event that took place at the All-Star Game?
Yeah.
I don't know. The Hank Aaron tribute was pretty cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously that had not happened before. But what settled the game?
Oh, the home run off. Yeah,
the home run swing off.
Yeah, good call.
The only time in my life I've rooted for Kyle Schwarber.
True.
Fair enough. I think a lot of us fall into that category.
Yes. What's the nickname of the woman who is still yet to be identified who stole a ball from a kid in an MLB game?
Oh, the...
Philly Karen.
Yeah,
let's
Philly.
Go.
That's it.
Philly's Karen. Yeah.
Let's go. I couldn't let you struggle through that one, G.
What was the word of the year, even though it's a number?
6-7.
6-7.
Yep.
While many couples got engaged this year, including Garrett Chapman over here.
Hey, man.
Who captioned their photos? Your gym teacher and English teacher are getting married.
Oh, I know this.
Yes,
one.
You do. You both know this.
Gym teacher and your
English teacher are getting married.
Yeah, dude, but neither one of them are gym teacher and English teacher.
Massive celebrities.
Oh, it's Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. I don't know why I was thinking like that Summer I Turned Pretty show, and I'm like, I don't know.
As a former gym teacher, I was appalled by this.
All right, one last one. What movie starring Josh Allen's wife proved me wrong? And the vampire era is definitely not over.
Oh, that was Sinners.
Yeah,
I was going to say, is it Michael B. Jordan?
That was an intense movie.
Did you see it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It was intense.
You went and watched that? Like in the theater or at home?
I was at home.
Okay.
I was at home.
I'm just over the vampire thing. I want it to be done.
Dude, it's never going anywhere. It's like being over the superhero thing.
I also didn't know it was a vampire movie. I had no idea. I just knew people were watching. So when I tell you, like I saw these random people, and I'm like, Well, these guys look kind of weird.
What's wrong with this guy's teeth?
What's wrong with this guy? And then he just like flashed his teeth, and I'm like, oh my God, is this a vampire movie?
Vampire movie.
In the world of veneers, that must be intentional.
Like, I don't know. I didn't know if it was Matthew Stafford's teeth or if it was just, I don't know. It was a weird one.
All right, coming up, we've got the good, the bad, and the ugly of last night's game, but really, there's not a lot of ugly. Mike and Garrett will give their verdicts next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.